Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
Things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. Very clear. And I have a question for you. I don't know if this is something that you've asked yourself, but I've asked myself this several times during the 975 weeks of lockdown so far. And some of you are saying, there hasn't been 900. I'm being evangelistic, man. Understand where I'm going. It just felt long, right? But here's the question. What's really going on? Have you asked that question? I guarantee there's been times during this whole season that you've scratched your head, you've looked around and you've said, what's really going on? Is it this? Is it that? Are we being told the truth? Sometimes I've felt like I'm being mugged off. Here I am, I haven't had a haircut in nearly 4 months. Unbelievable. If it wasn't for gel, I would be looking like a wannabe raver from the 80s and the 90s. I've got curtains. Come on now. And who knew that hair weighed so much? Come on, help me out. It's like half a stone of hair on my head since the lockdown began. How do you work that out? But what is really going on? What is the big picture? See, right now, if life was a painting, it would be one of those abstract ones. You know, the one where you've got a person's face and he's got an ear where his nose should be and a nose where his chin should be and there's all stuff going on. It's like an acid trip, man. No one really knows what's going on. It's weird. It's every time we think we get a grip of something, something else happens. Or is it just me? Help me out and comment if you can agree with me right now. See, it's abstract, man. It's a bit weird. And that's the picture we see in front of us. But beyond that is a bigger picture. Whether you understand it or not, when all is said and done, there are two sides facing off against each other. I'm not talking about China and America or Russia and this country or Britain or someone else or black versus white. I'm not talking about that. These two sides, on one side you have the Creator God, the God of all creation, the God that created the heavens and the earth and everything in them. And then opposing him, on the other side, you have Satan. Satan is a description, it's a job description. He's the adversary, he's the opponent. He has names like the enemy, or the devil, or the dragon, or Lucifer, or whatever name he goes by at any one time. And you have him and all his followers facing off against God and all his followers. They're the two sides, whether you understand it or not. There is a cosmic battle that's taking place. And the thing is this, there's no middle ground in this. You can't just opt out. You can't just be an observer. You are in one camp or you're in the other camp. And there are some people that are in the devil's camp and they don't even realize it. But if you're not with God, then by default, you're against him. Where you stand on this, where you stand will ultimately seal your fate. Right now, as we speak, in the world today, there is a battle taking place in the cosmic realms. And the knock-on effect is what we're feeling on the earth. And it's getting hotter every single day. Now, I know I'm starting to speak spiritual to you right now. Don't switch off. You know, the Bible says that the natural man cannot understand the things of the spirit. So, get spiritual right now. But listen, because something is taking place and it's going to put a little bit of context to what it is that you've been feeling, that you've been sensing, and that you've been seeing all around you. The book of Revelation speaks about all this. And the book of Revelation, as we've already said, is a scary one for many people. Some people don't want to touch the book of Revelation. It's all weird stuff. There's symbolism, there's imagery, there's various different things that take place. They don't know how to work with it. But it doesn't have to be like that. In fact, it says itself in verse 3 of Revelation chapter 1 that God blesses the ones who reads the word of this prophecy to the church. So I'm reading it to you right now, so I'm blessed. But also, it says, and God blesses all who listen to its message and obey what it says, for the time is near. Check that out. But when John the Apostle had his revelation, he was there on the Isle of Patmos, he'd been exiled by the Romans, he was the last living apostle at the time, we believe. He was there. It was a long time after everyone else had gone. Jesus had gone back to the Father. The church was beginning to be born. The temple in Jerusalem had been torn down by the Romans. There he was on the Isle of Patmos. And he says that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He was at church. He was going to church. He was worshiping God. And he was there and he had a revelation, where Jesus Christ, the resurrected Jesus Christ, appeared to him and told him what he wanted him to do. He was to look at the past and write down what had brought him to that point. He was to look at the present and write down things that were taking place right now. And then he was to look to the future, and he was going to be shown things that were going to take place later on. That's how the book of Revelation is broken down. Chapter 1 includes the things John saw to introduce his writing. All of the experience, everything else, had led him up to that point. Chapter 2 and 3 include the things that were present realities to him and are present realities to us now. It speaks about the church age, the letters to the churches, the seven churches. And the thing is this, the number 7 is the number of perfection in the Bible. So what you see, there are some people that are called dispensationalists that believe that every church that was mentioned in the book of Revelation was corresponding to a different age of the church. 7 ages. But also, I believe that 7 was talking about the perfect number of the types of churches that were there on the earth at that time. And I believe that we have a lot of ways of seeing that many of these types of churches, the models of church, the type of church, are in existence right now. But that was the reality of that. The description of every type of church was in chapter 2 and 3. But in chapter 4, all of a sudden we have a snapshot of heaven. We see eternity, and the church and the believers are before God's throne. And then from chapter 5 all the way up to chapter 19, you see all of the things that are yet to come. And then in the chapters following that up to chapter 22, you see how God restores everything. It's beautiful, but there's different sections. 4 real realities that we want to look at. And these 4 realities are things that we have to get to grips with if we're going to make sense of the madness of our world. If we want to understand the big picture, there are 4 realities that I really want to try and break down right now. I'm going to do my best to break them down simply, because how many of you know being simple as a preacher is the best thing? That's what preaching is. Preaching takes complex matters and makes them simple. Teaching does the other. It takes a simple matter and it takes it in all different directions. But I'm preaching right now. 4 realities. Are you with me? 4 realities. The first one is past history. We have to understand past history. The second one is our present reality. What's really going on right now? The third one we have to understand is that place called eternity. And then the fourth one is future destiny. So are you ready? I'm going to break this down real quick, as simply as I can. First of all, past history. You know, there's a saying, it says this. It says, those who do not learn from history are doomed to repeat it. This quote was probably from a philosopher called George Santayana. And in the original form, it probably said something like this. It said, those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. Because the past can teach us a lot. The Bible's clear about the past. It's clear about that the past can teach us stuff that we need to learn from it. Paul the Apostle was speaking to the church in Corinth about the Israelites when they came out of Egypt and their whole journey. And he started to speak to them with their struggles about following God after he'd freed them from their bondage. How many of you know that getting saved, giving your life to Jesus, praying a prayer is the first step in a journey? And sometimes it's a journey that has lots of struggles in. You know, I got set free from addiction. I got saved, wonderfully forgiven. But how many of you know, I then still had to unravel. I had to be unwrapped and unraveled and untied from some of the things that my past had heaped upon me. That's the journey of faith that the Bible calls sanctification. And it's a tough one, but it's a good one. And it's one that Jesus is walking with us. But Paul was speaking to the Corinthians, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 11 through 13, he says, these things happened to them as examples for us. Everything that they went through in the past was an example that could be used to the people in the present. So they were written down to warn us who live at the end of the age. And then he says, if you think you're standing strong, be careful that you don't fall. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. You know, we can learn from the past if we apply ourselves to learn from the past. Because I don't know about you, you can either learn from your own mistakes, but then any fool can do that. Or you can learn from the mistakes that other people made, and that's what wise people do. But right now, man, check it out. You've heard it on the news, you've seen it on the news. There are some people right now that are trying to erase history. Not learn from it, but erase it. I'm not talking now about taking down statues of slave owners and slavers and all that. I'm cool with that. I'm good with that. Why should they be even up there causing misery? But I'm talking about how it starts to go beyond that and starts to get into erasing history and rewriting history. No, no, no. It needs to be learned from. It needs to be looked at from different angles so that the lessons from it can be learned so that they won't be repeated. What were the mindsets of the people of their age? People, they call them people of their time. Okay, what were their mindsets? We've seen the misery it's caused. How can we learn from that so we don't replicate that? What are the patterns? Don't erase it. These markers of history are there to learn from and give us objective points to measure whether or not we've actually made any progress. People that attempt to erase history or rewrite it are dangerous and they need to be avoided. The communists did that. They tried to rewrite all of the history. ISIS tried to do that. They tried to tear down all of the old historical stuff and burn everything. And look what misery those two groups caused to world history. But my question is, are we learning from the past? Are we looking at it? I believe that in this pandemic, one of the reasons why racism has become such a big subject is because people have had time to stop and to listen and to think and to pray and to watch, and things have been highlighted. And I believe it's part of God's present reset, that God wants to do something at this time. But are we learning, or are we just trying to get rid of everything and do what it is we want to do? The history of the world, right, in the past has been marked by humanity moving further and further from God. We know that in the beginning, God created humanity to be with him, have fellowship with him. But then rebellion came in, selfishness came in. From that point, sin came in, death came in. And then humanity has consistently moved away. We've seen empires build. We've seen Nimrod, that great king, tried to build the Tower of Babel. We've seen what happened there when they came and they did their thing. We've seen the Babylonians rise up. We've seen the Egyptians rise up. We've seen the Medo-Persians rise up. We've seen the Greeks rise up. The Romans rise up. The British Empire rise up. Now what is it going to be? One day, the empire of the Antichrist is going to rise up. And if we haven't learned from history, then there are some people, maybe even watching this, that you're going to be suckered into following the man of lawlessness with all of his fake signs and wonders. But we have to learn these patterns. We have to learn this stuff. All of it, this history, it's been a story of power and greed. And behind all of that is Satan, using humans like pawns in his battle against his creator. See, if we really learn some lessons about all that, we wouldn't get sucked into some of the lies that people tell us in the days that we live in. Because the people are lying right now to gain power for themselves. Because power has always been the thing that certain people seek. But that's the past. Are we learning from it? But then what about the present? What about the present? See, the past for many people just stays behind their back. But when you get into the present, all of a sudden, things start to get right in your face. You can't deny some of the things that are taking place in the world we live in. It's crazy. This year, 2020, has pretty much stamped all over many of the things that we thought were solid. You thought you were going to have a vacation. You thought you were going on holiday. You thought that your job was going to increase. You thought that your education was going to be this. You planned, and then all of a sudden, 2020 comes and just grabs it and tears it up and rips it up and throws it down and then looks at you and giggles. Right? 2020 has been mental. It's been mad. Been a crazy year. But it's in your face right now, and there's things that we need to look at. You know, our societies across the world have endured a lot, man. People have struggled with fear and with stress at levels we've rarely seen before in our generation. We're living in really uncertain times right now. And there are many personal, many economic, many political and international shakings that are going on. Things are being shaken. And that's because things need to be shaken. Roots are being established. Realities are being seen for what they are. People's loyalties are being seen for what they are. People's friendships are being seen for really what they are. Shakings are going on. And now, events seem to be moving at a rapid speed from one thing to another. We went into the pandemic. We went into a lockdown. We went into a spike. We went into a peak. We started coming out of the peak. We thought we were coming out of the peak. And the next thing, there's riots, there's protests, there's all different things taking place. What's next? Things have just been happening. Or is it just me? I'm the only one that watches current events and thinks, what is going on? As I've said, I think people have had time to think about some stuff that really matters. And how many of you know people really matter? Friends, family really matter. You know, we've seen NHS staff and key workers really matter. And then also we've seen that Black Lives Matter. And here's the thing I want to make very clear. I personally back the statement that Black Lives Matter. Because why should your skin color determine your opportunities in life? Why? It's ridiculous. But here's the thing. I'm not really down with the Black Lives Matter organization. And I'll tell you why. Because its agenda does not stand up to biblical scrutiny. And if I'm going to back anything, I'm going to back something that is in line with my God. And in line with his will and in line with his word. And if it's not, then I can't back it. I'm sorry. And so I'll probably get backlash from that. Maybe you know, I preached a message last week on racism. I mean, it was called the racism message. Maybe you know, I got backlash from my stance on racism. I got backlash from white people. And I got backlash from black people. I got backlash from everywhere. Some black people seem to have an issue with white people standing with them at this time. But here's the thing. Some white people have an issue with white people standing with black people at this time. It's like, you can't even make it up. But it's a reality. And it's all part of the world that we live in. How mad is that? But I want to let you know this. I want to let my white friends know this. See, this equality and justice thing is not a pie. It's not a pizza. It's not like there's only 8 slices of equality and white people have 6 and black people have 2. And if black people get more, then I have to get less. This thing is not a pizza. It's not a pie. It's a position. Other people having more doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to get less. It's not about that. It's about the equalization of the starting point for opportunity. Are you with me? Anything else, anything above that is an agenda that's wrong. So here we go. See if I get some backlash for that. Everyone should have an equal opportunity to become what they were created to become. So in this present reality, man, there's a lot of things getting shaken. There's a lot of things getting uprooted. There's a lot of things being reset. Things like ignorance and apathy. Educate yourself on the past, and maybe in the present, it's going to work out a little bit better. And the future then, ooh, come on. Huh? If we can remember the injustices of the past and educate ourselves, then we can make a difference going forward. Social media has lit all this stuff up. News media outlets are once again pretty off balance when it comes to reporting stuff. You know, because they've all got agendas, man, whether you know it or not. There's great journalists, don't get me wrong. There's great people that work in all of this stuff. But there's bigger pictures, there's bigger agendas. So if you're not solid with what you believe and in who you believe, you could drown in the waves of anger and fear and confusion. And I know people that are tired, they are weary, they are burdened, they are burnt out, they are washed up, and it doesn't need to be like that. If you will just understand that there's a bigger picture. The world is becoming more polarized. And people are choosing sides based upon their experiences and their preferences and their ideals. And I understand that. I get that. We've seen that there are two sides and you have to take a stand. But here's the thing. In the world we live in the present, what is really going on? This is what the Bible speaks to that in James chapter 4, verse 1 through 4. Now buckle up your seatbelt and open up your heart and see if God can really speak to you right now. It says, what is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You only want what will give you pleasure. You adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? There we have it. There's two sides again. I say it again. If you want to be a friend of the world with its ungodly, broken down systems, you make yourself an enemy of God. That's heavy. And it's for every single person. Pretty clear that many of the problems that we face in our lives, not all of them, but many of the problems that the world faces, that humanity faces, I'm not talking about individual situations, I'm talking about the big picture. Many of all these problems are self-inflicted. Self does it. What we want, what I think is right. And that subjectivity, that subjective type of morality is only good if it's good for you. But it ain't no good if someone else has a different type of morality over there. There must be an objective morality There must be a law that's given by a lawgiver that affects everyone. Otherwise, each and every person can do whatever it is that they want to do. And imagine you say, I don't want to kill. That's my subjective morality. And someone else says, I want to kill. That's my subjective morality. How are you going to work with that? And we see that happen time and time again in different societies, in different situations. But how many of you know we need to understand there's a bigger picture and we need to deal with that. And the only way to eradicate that stuff is by getting yourself under manners. How do you do that? There's only one way. The answer to every war, to every fight is inside of me. It's inside of you. It's in your heart. There's only one way that you can eradicate self, and that is to surrender yourself to Jesus Christ. If you ask him to forgive you, he will. And then what he will do is he will give you his new eternal life in exchange for your old, worn out life. And then you'll live forever. If you've done that already, man, and I know there's many of you watching that say, I've done that already. I am a part of his army. I am one of his family. I do belong to God through Jesus Christ. Then fantastic. But now you have a task, and your task is to live in such a way that other people that were dead like you can come alive to Christ. That's it. Very simple. That's how you fit in the big picture. If you do that, it means that you will be living a life that means something. A life that incorporates, enables, and gives opportunity to other people around you, because you're opening up the reality of eternity. So then we come to this place called eternity. This is taking place all around us right now. And unknown to many people on earth, there is actually a place, if you can call it that, called eternity. It's beyond our space-time reality. It's beyond the known universe. You know, cosmologists and scientists, they say that they've measured about 5% of the known universe. That's a huge, huge thing they've done. But if you had a test and you only got 5 out of 100, you ain't passing that test, amen? So if there's 95% of the universe that is unknown, wow, and they say there's no God, how do you know that? He might be manifesting himself in that other 95% or in eternity. And the thing is this, the problem with eternity, the problem with this dimension, and listen, quantum physicists and cosmologists and everyone are trying to get a hold of this right now. They know it's there. They're trying to get a grip of it. They're doing this thing called string theory with 10 or 11 dimensions that they can kind of work out. Quantum mechanics, where they're looking at the quanta and the different things. But how many of you know, they can't seem to get a grip of it. Because the problem is, eternity can't be accessed by measurements or experiments. It can only be accessed spiritually, by faith. And God's people can access eternity, but Satan's people can access that realm as well. But only God's people are ever going to live there. Some people just trespass into it with their evil deeds, Ouija boards and seances and black magic and masses and all the rest of it. Yeah, people can access that stuff. But how many of you know it's trespass? Only the righteous can access it rightly. And now at this present time, there is a massive battle taking place in that spiritual dimension. God is moving his forces into the earth in response to the prayers of the saints, to people's prayers. Listen, if you've been praying in this pandemic, God's been hearing in this pandemic, and God's been moving in this pandemic, and you might not have seen the evidence of it yet, but that's because the enemy of God is opposing it with every fiber of his being, with every resource that he has. And we on earth are feeling the echo or the backlash of that. Everything's being shaken, but not because it's just stuff on earth. There's stuff happening in the heavenly realm that's taking place right now. Because the future destiny of millions of souls are at stake. But God's going to win. You have to understand, even though there's a battle, God's going to win. When you read Daniel, you read in Daniel that Daniel started to pray for his people in chapter 9. Then in chapter 10, it goes on that an angel came to him and said, the moment you began to pray, an answer was sent. I was sent to you with a message. God moved. The moment you humbled yourself and prayed, God began to move. He said, but then the prince of Persia, that's a dimensional thing. That's a ruler over a nation, a spiritual influencer opposed me. He said, 21 days I was battling with him, but now I'm through. And here's the message. Do not give up praying. Do not stop crying out to God. Don't stop repenting. Don't stop humbling yourself, because God is about to release an anointing upon the earth that is going to see millions of people saved. But there's a battle going on. That's what's happening in the reality of now, in the heavenly realm. But what's the future hold? What's happening in the future? What's destiny look like? The future is going to be a lot harder than it is now. Oh, I'm sorry that I had to not come with a nice little feel-good message, nice little pep talk. The reality is that the future is going to get a lot harder for this world and the people that love it. Because let's face it, people won't learn from the past. We've looked at history and people rarely ever do. Powerful people come and take advantage of everyone else. In fact, you know, that the wealth of the top 0.01% or whatever it is greater than everyone else put together. I mean, the spike of wealth is unbelievable. But we don't see that. But it's going to get harder. It's going to get tougher. People don't learn from the past. Most of them don't really care. They just care about what they can get now, what they can do now, how they can live now, how they can enjoy themselves. But the people who love and follow Jesus are going to see God move in their lives like never before. Understand this, people, that God is about to move in your life in a way you've never seen him before. If you love him, if you're called according to his purpose, he's going to bless you. If you're there wanting to do his will, he's going to bless you. He's going to enlarge your territory. He's going to give you more opportunity and more blessing than you've ever known before. If that's you, expect more opportunities to shine. How many of you know the world needs the church to shine? The world needs Christians to shine, not to fight each other, not to talk smack to each other, not to battle each other over mad doctrinal issues, but to go out and actually reach souls and win people to Jesus and live in a way that gives Jesus a reward for his sacrifice. And if that's you, then expect God's grace and favor in your life like you've never seen it before. Expect to grow, expect to mature, and expect great things. Is it going to be hard for the world in the future? Is it going to be hard for us in the world in the future? Of course it is. We're in the world. But it's only going to be hard where we're touching the world. But where we touch God, oh, it's going to be amazing. Because God lifts you up out of that situation. He takes you out. He takes you into those realms, really, in prayer, in his spirit, in worship, through his word. You get to touch these other realms and your life just changes. When we touch God, we get lifted above the problems and we get a new perspective and we can see the picture unfold beyond that little portion of madness that we see. Then, when that is a reality in our lives, we can really help our friends and families to move beyond the madness of the world we live in and see who Jesus really is for themselves. Don't you want that? Don't you want your friends and your family to know the Jesus that loves you, the Jesus that forgave you, the Jesus that has lifted you up time and time again? The Jesus that provides for you, the Jesus that has protected you, the Jesus that is always going to be there with you, the Jesus that was in the boat with you in the midst of the storm, come on now, the Jesus that has never left you, he will never forsake you, the Jesus that is in you, who is greater than anyone else in the world, the Jesus that cancels the accusations of your enemy, come on. Don't you want other people to know that Jesus? Your best friend, the lover of your soul, the Lord of your life, the King of eternity. Whose side are you on? And whose side do you want your loved ones to be on? So can you see it now? Can you see there's a bigger picture unfolding? Do you want to be part of it? Then learn from the past. Learn from your mistakes. Learn from the mistakes of others. And be the change that you want to see. Apply what you've learned in the present so that your future is going to find you on the winning side. I want to pray for everyone right now. Father in heaven, in Jesus' name, I know this has been a lot to take in. I know that people's minds are being stretched in different ways and shapes, but my God, stretch us. Stretch our capacity. For those that are on your side already, Lord, if you need to change an old wineskin, change that old wineskin. So that we're not whiny Christians, but that we're Christians that have greater capacity to receive your love and your forgiveness and your goodness and release it to other people. My God, if there's people that are watching, that are tuned in, that need to know you, that need forgiveness, that need to be brought up out of the dirt of this world and the chaos of this time that we're in, to lift them up above that, then Lord, I pray that they would ask you, Jesus, to forgive them, to turn to you and receive what it is that you want to give. All of that love, all of that peace, all of that joy, all of that purpose. Spirit of God, I just pray your peace and your power and your anointing floods every home and every house right now. Holy One, I pray that people are going to know that in the midst of turmoil and chaos, that your peace is a weapon. You said that in your word that the peace of God will crush Satan beneath our feet. My God, release your peace into every mind and every heart. Cover every person right now that has been struggling with peace. And let them know, my God, that your peace is freely given. Holy Spirit, would you touch every heart? Would you touch every soul right now? I pray that there will be a healing of every heart. I pray, oh God, that some things are going to take time. Some things, this ain't a quick fix thing. This is an eternal thing. This is a life journey. But God, I pray that those that have struggled with a history that has caused problems in their present, they didn't even choose that history. But my God, I pray that they would be able to be heard, that they would find safe space, that they would find, oh God, people with ears to hear. Be quick to listen and slow to speak. My God, I pray that healing would flow. Heal this nation. Heal this city, oh God, of Manchester. My God, I pray that your anointing is going to flow and people are going to wake up to Jesus and find out that he is the winner. He's the winner. And that he is good. And that his enemy is a liar. And he promises things that he never fulfills except bad things. So Lord, today I pray, bless each and every person. Keep us safe. Let us know, oh God, that you're with us. Fill every house and every home and every heart with your love. And lift up everyone's eyes that they may see what's really going on. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, just begin to pray, begin to worship right now. We're going to go into a time of worship. God bless you today.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Go to vomanchester.org for more information.